Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank God for another training day. Hallelujah. You know, I've been looking forward to this because, I mean, I'm always interested in what the Lord has. Because, amen, it ain't about me. It's about his kingdom. And that's what we're talking about, the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. Amen. And the connection is that when you add Christ in it, it's talking about how God is connected. He stands between us and God, and he connects us to God. Amen. That's why it's necessary to have Christ in your life. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you and give you all glory and honor. For it is by your goodness and your love and your mercy that we are here today. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come before your throne, that you paid for this privilege with the blood of your own son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being a willing sacrifice and an obedient Savior and King. Amen. To give your life just in exchange for our life, exchange your goodness for our sin. And we praise you. We thank you. Amen. And in that process, we have been able to receive Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide, our comfort, our leader, our friend, our teacher. And we thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask you right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding more to be enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for them that submit and obey. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless it. My tongue be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's something. You know, the more you come to understand how prayer works, why prayer exists, it becomes easier to engage. You know, it's not uncommon to me to pray. pray several times a day. I pray when I see a police car with flashing lights, I pray. Amen. See, we have authority and power that everybody do not have. Only Christians have that authority to command angels. And where I get authority to command angels, one place is Matthew 26:53, I believe, where Jesus, just before they were going to execute him, said that if he wanted to, he could command angels. Amen. He could command a legion of angels. And if you know anything about angels, when it's an angel against a human, the human is no match. Now, there's a situation in the Bible where one angel took out 185,000 valiant soldiers, took out the best of the best. It was like the Navy SEALs at that time, but it just took them out. Amen. It wasn't a bunch of fat old dudes that they were fighting. It was a young, fresh crop that had been freshly trained. So, but we have that authority. I mean, what's going on in the world everywhere today? You name the situation, and it is more about the lack of prayer than it is about what's happening. I know people say that it is happening because there's so much sin in the world. Well, there hasn't been a day when there wasn't sin in the world. And you got to really look at the whole picture. Think about this. God could have made this heaven on earth. And I will repeatedly say that. We're drawn to that place where we'll be like that. Amen. God could have, if you read the book of Revelation in chapter 21, you will find that it is a total peace, no more tears. Now, note at that point in time, it says no more tears. I believe that's the Revelation 21:6. But read it, you'll get it right. Amen. If I don't. Now, God could have very well made it that day one. He could have stopped Satan. Once Satan rebelled, amen, and got kicked out of heaven, he could have eliminated him then. He could have blocked him from going into the garden. Okay? Satan did not override him, all right? But there's something else going on. Mankind is different than angels. We have the individual thought. We can make decisions, and we're a person made in the image and likeness of God. See, we recognize the image because we see that in the mirror, but it's the likeness that has the most impact, and it is the likeness that God has the most concern about, because that's the part that can cause us to end up in hell. Okay, I mean, hell is God's jail. Okay, for those that don't want to do it, don't want to live according to His kingdom rules, He has distinctive rules that distinguish Him, His laws from man's laws. Okay, now when we're talking about the kingdom of Christ, we're talking about growing into the revelation of understanding that God's laws and man's law will at times differ. And you have to decide which laws you're going to live by. You know, that affects a lot of areas. And one of the areas we want to talk about, we begin with we started in Romans chapter 12. you know, it's amazing how this thing changed when I don't want it to, but amen. So it said, Romans 12:4, it said, just as each of us has one body with many members, then these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is the primary objective that God wants us to learn and understand. And we get a variety of challenges at variety of levels and then variety of types of relationships that in which we are challenged, and we have to decide in each one of those situations to respond in a manner that is acceptable to God's kingdom laws, which is the law of love. Everything evolves around two laws. Jesus said that. Love for God. Okay, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 also. Love for God. Love Him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. That means put all into it. Now, that means you're going to run into opposition. That's inescapable. That's part of life. It comes designed with that. Because God is looking at, once you're outside of this body, your power is virtually unlimited. Again, I refer to the situation in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32. You have two individuals that are deceased. As far as that was known back then, they have this. Look at the distinguishment. Look at what's going on with them. They're 500 years difference between their age, and yet there's full cognizance of who they are. They have full voice, understanding, feelings, knowledge, smell, everything. You know, and as I reminded you, hell, if you go to hell, you're going to have to smell butt funk for the rest of your life. Old butt funk, not new butt funk, old butt funk. Forever. That's going to be the worst part. And then, do you know how people smell in the summertime when they ain't bathed? They got old butt funk and it's hot. You know that's punishment by itself. Forever. There ain't no bathing water down there, no soap down there, you know, no deodorant. Just going on, no loon, hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to focus here. We're going to talk. But last week we were talking about in 1 Corinthians, when the church first started, this was written between 30 and 100 A.D., and Paul, while he was visiting Corinth, which is part of Greece, I believe, they were having divisions. It hadn't even got started good, and Satan jumped in there. Why? Whenever Satan brings division, is to diminish your authority. When you come into Christ, you have authority. See, everybody can pray, but everybody does not have the right to pray. A lot of prayers are answered because because God is merciful, which means that you do judgment, you have flunked. You fail, but he's going to bypass, and he's full of love. God doesn't do evil. Satan does. Now, Satan, due to the fact that Adam sinned, he told Jesus that this world was delivered unto him, okay? Which means that it at one time, if it's delivered, when you deliver, you're taking it from one place to another. And the place that it had originally been was in Adam's control, but when him and Eve stepped out of the will of God, it became Satan's control. Okay? Now, the whole process is about the fact that God wants us to understand this power and authority, and it's only ruled by love. Okay? God is not going to be standing around, even though it says in the book of Revelation that during the time when Jesus come back, which is soon, to reign on the earth, he will rule with a rod of iron. You know, that just means you ain't going to be able to get, you definitely won't be able to give him no excuses because you won't be in his flesh type body. It won't have the limitations that it had. But your mind will be at full cognizance, so controlling it then will probably take more effort and energy than it does now. Because you don't, like I say, right, you know, actually, when I was going through school, I graduated from high school challenged. I think I had a 2.8 grade average, okay? And there was something. I hated English. I thought that they was persecuting me for the English class, you know? I almost thought I couldn't hear because they would talk, but I didn't understand what they were saying. So that was challenging. But see, what that does is a person that can fully comprehend, okay, easily, have to exercise patience with a person that can. And this is crucial because this is going to occur in everybody's life. See, so having been there, when I encounter people that are at that level, I'm more compassionate because I know what it's like. It took me a long time. I remember, I've never shared this before. I remember trying to take a college entrance exam into a school flunk. like I just wasn't even there. That was painful. I looked at that paper and I didn't have a clue what was on that paper. Okay? And I understand that. But it took me years to learn that math. I eventually learned it. Okay? Because it gave me an interest into some other areas that I wanted to know. I didn't just want to know math. It's what you can do with mathematics.
this is why I see Training Day from a totally different perspective. This is why when I talk about in 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. And then you connect that with John 20:26, when Jesus disappeared before the disciples. That's tremendous amount of power. That's what this is about. And again, that's all regulated by love. So here, as we read, I got the King James up, so I'm going to read it. Okay. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you that saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Now I'm going to read this in the Richard Version. He says, reading verse 12, he said, "Now I say this, that every one of you that say, I'm a Baptist, I'm an apostolic, you know, I'm a church of God in Christ, and I'm a holiness, holiness overcoming fire breather, something I seen in a church plan one day. Denominational divisions." You see how that occurred? And it's a book called Handbook of Denominations. If you get a copy of it and read it, you will find all these divisions came about because they ran out of patience. And they divided over doctrinal differences that were, to me, very insignificant. If you try to change how salvation is obtained, and you say it takes more than just believing on Jesus, then I'm going to have a problem with you. But I'm going to pray for you, because I can show you everywhere in the Bible where that's all it takes. You're not going to believe it. You're only going to believe it when the spirit of conviction come upon you to receive it. So what God is looking at on my end is how I respond. Okay, and this is something you have to keep in mind. You know, my pastor make this statement that everything with God is a two-fold. Same thing with Satan. If he can get you out of alignment, okay, he's getting you and somebody else too. All right? And I say that because right now, okay, this is what goes on. This is, you know, I met a young lady. Amen. And she, you know, was brought up. This was obviously a divine appointment. That's why I do Uber. And in this particular time, man, I was dragging. I think I did 2 trips, and I went back home and went to sleep. But I had an option to get up and go. I did. All right. So I met a young lady, and she was telling me about how her father was a pastor, and you know, he wasn't exactly what he was supposed to be. So, okay. And that challenged her, because, you know, she had the challenge, why does God allow this person? And we didn't get into a lot of detail, but we got to the place where, okay, don't throw baby Jesus out with the bathwater. All right. Because the one thing that I detected about her almost immediately, she still spent time with God. And you know, you be around enough people that when they begin to talk, the anointing is there. That's the flow of God that's higher than the norm. And that comes from worship of God. That comes from praying and having a focus on God. And it keeps the presence. It you can tell it's there. That's why some of y'all, when y'all go around, people know you're there. You know, they look at you funny. You're looking at, why are they looking at me? Because you're spending time with God. You're taking God with you. The light of God is with you. So, and then they hear when it come out of your voice. They hear the Holy Spirit. All right. But the thing is what Satan wants is for us. He will take situations like that to stop us from praying. Because, see, if he come up and he create drama in my family, okay, and get me out of order, out of the will of God, I can't pray for Ukraine. See how he do that? See, I can't pray when I see a fireman going down the street. All that comes to a halt until I get back in alignment with God. And this is why Satan comes up with, as Paul said, divisions. Any level, marriage, family, friends, work, always he's trying to block you. Where you work, the prosperity of that company hinges more on the body of Christ members there than the so-called geniuses that think they're making it happen. They are now engaged in the spiritual warfare. You're the one that's bringing forth. And if you want your share to prosper, buy some shares of the company. You know, a lot of times people work at companies, companies sell stock, they don't buy it. They don't trust the company. No, listen, see, that's the other thing. You want to be in a position where you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that if the company ain't worth buying, Holy Spirit will tell you it ain't worth buying. But if it's worth buying, then he's going to make it grow and prosper. Because a lot of time, now, those are not shares that are sold on the open market. But by the time you retire, you can collect on them because they've obtained value. See, there's so many things involved in this staying in alignment with God. But it all goes back to living by the rules of the kingdom of Christ. Okay, that's kind of like saying the kingdom of God versus kingdom of God, the Old Testament, kingdom of Christ, New Testament, new agreement, new, but the laws are the same. There's some things we don't have to do. Like, for instance, for my new people, if you want to know the difference between forgiveness for when you get out of order, and you're going to get out of order because you're engaged in a warfare, all right? You got to read Leviticus chapter 4, okay? Read it and picture it in your mind. If they still have Faces of Death video or online, they have this segment where they show what goes on in a the Chicago Stockhouse, what is it, the Chicago slaughterhouse, okay? So you watch them slaughter a cow. So you'll get a picture of what it looks like when you read it and they slaughter this red heifer. Matter of fact, Israel is going to go back to doing that live and living color, okay? That's one of the signs of the time, is the restoration and the rebuilding of the temple and the restoration of animal sacrifice. The world court has ruled that Israel has the right to breed the red heifer for that purpose, okay? Now, see, this is the thing about the Bible. It lets you know what's happening, all right? But what my point here is, once you compare that to 1 John 1:9, when it says, if we say we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. We don't have to make that mess, okay? Now, but again, and see, that's the other thing. If I'm out of order, I can't apply that forgiveness until I get in order. That's what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 11 and in other places, okay? See how all this is linked together, and the purpose, again, Satan bringing any drama to get you out of alignment is to diminish your power so that God can't call on you and use you for your power. That is always about that. Because you got to think a billion years out. You got to think, what is God? He's doing all this because you're going to be a totally different type of person. I talk about the fact that you got three genes of man, three types of man, three generations of man. First generation of man is from Adam all the way up to Jesus. They don't, only prophets, priests, and kings have the Holy Spirit in them, okay? And in most cases, upon them. Now, and then when Jesus shows up and successfully dies, dies, resurrected, then he ministers the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:11, inside of us. So that's second gen man. Now, Jesus has transitioned, and everybody that has died in Christ have transitioned to third gen man, where they didn't live without limitation. That's why in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, just while he's talking to them, he flies on up into space, into another dimension. He had the speed of thought, you know, once he got out of sight of them, all right? We will be able to do that. That's what it's talking about. Well, our citizenship is in heaven, in the heavenly realm, okay? And it's, he shall change our bodies into one like his glorious body, and we shall be like he is, see? Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Why? Because it has the limitations. And it isn't just a sin nature. It's the limitations on that because Jesus rectified a sin nature. Okay? So, again, we spent our life learning at different levels how to manage our spirit. That's what this is all about. So now we're talking about division, because I'm still seeing that, and it is still happening in the church, and because of that, Satan is gaining victory. When he brings through tornadoes and tear up a neighborhood, that's not an act of God, okay? The only way it can be an act of God, one, God don't do evil, period, okay? You know, he's not, he don't lie, he don't steal, he don't have to. But and he don't need to test us. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Omniscient means he know all things. When you're talking God, he know the past, the present, the future. He know what you're going to think, what you're going to say. He knew it in Genesis 1:26. When it says male and female created, he built, God knew everybody, everything. He knew who was going to hell, who was going to heaven, everything, how they was going to act in that millisecond. He knew it all right? But we don't know all that. We don't know what it's like to be total spiritual man. We don't know what it's like to be that until we die. And then we get over there, we still some things we learn. Because what you don't learn here, you learn over there. And if you want to know an honorable, trusted man that I believe, two people that I believe, Mary Baxter, Divine Revelation of Heaven and Divine Revelation of Hell, and Jesse Duplantis, Close Encounters of the God Kind. They both talk about what goes on when you die. God is not that secretive. I mean, you have an incident in Luke chapter 16. That Luke chapter 16 is not a parable. That's why it says a certain man. Okay, when it says a certain man, you know, it's specified. That's an event with real people that happen. There's a time element there for us to know. God is not intent on us being secretive about his dimension, because he wants us to fully understand this thing. That's why the Bible is as thick. That's why he allowed 6,000 years to go by. Adam had all this in him. Adam had the intelligence to build an automobile in him. He had the intelligence to build a spaceship in him. The scriptures say that God went and got the animals and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Why? Because the spirit of man came from God. Genesis 2:7. That's what happened. And that's how powerful it is. We just look at it like, because we look at the limitations that we have to live in now, the soulless realm. But God did that for a purpose, to keep us from doing more damage than what we have done. Okay, look at what we got now. Look at how our economies are going. Look at what we got. You got a man over there want to just take somebody's neighborhood, and he ain't going to succeed. Because what he does not understand is that you got men of God like Pastor O and my pastor that have, and then Kenneth Fredler. I can go through a list of people that have been teaching, just like I'm sharing now. That's where I got it from. How to break down the word and understand it for the benefit so that we can utilize it. See, so now we know how to pray. You know, it's sad. I saw a prayer. You can Google it. Prayer by the Pope for Ukraine. And anybody that understands how prayer works, I have some videos on that, particularly on how to pray the Ephesians prayer, as I call it. You know, you can design a prayer. Should always be based on the word. God says, say my word, call my word to me, okay? Because he responds to his word. He responds to his word. His word works. So when I pray the prayer, when I open up, part of it comes from Ephesians chapter 1, part comes from Colossians chapter 1, in chapter 3. See, that's the guarantee. That's stating my contract, okay? Now, So you want to be able to, like I said, pray the word. Pray the word, you know. And like I said, I was praying. I was reading that prayer that he had written, and I'm like, wow. You know, it sounds good and religious, but it couldn't get in the door of heaven. God can't answer it. Because you have to understand God has set this life up. There's a way that he does things. The way you have to do things according to his word, okay? And that's actually, in most cases, easier than trying to make up some stuff to sound like you holy. Because God knew if you are or not. Like I said, you cannot walk around with unforgiveness in your heart. And that leads me to this other level of division, the black and the white church. Ain't no such thing. And, you know, that came from a law I found out that I finally got it. That was made in the 1690s in the United States of America by some supposedly Christian folks. Totally disregard what God said. Okay, it's amazing that we got this right. You talking about mercy of God? Man, I'm just amazed that God did, that more did not happen. You know, I was watching this documentary on Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. All these folks claiming they in Christ. You got the same thing going on right now. Satan is just, see, they respond in the flesh because they don't want to do, you got to do it all. See, they felt like, I prayed enough. I'm going to take some action. You're still going to fail. You're still going to fail. Because, again, there are enough of us that know how to pray. And when we pray, we know how to command angels. So we're going to stop the demons that are motivating you. Okay, you'll get a ways, but you'll get two, but you won't succeed totally. You know, not into the rapture. World War III, I'm convinced it ain't going to happen until after the rapture. Probably right on the day of the rapture or the day after the rapture. Why? Because there's enough of us. So we only focus on one thing, having enough time to win souls, taking the gospel through the whole world. That's it. But and God will call it. He'll call it. When we get closer, the things that we know now, that we understand now, I'm seeing an alignment. There are prophets of God. That's in Ephesians 4:11. God called some. He gave some prophets. Okay? He made prophets. Okay? And it's established in the word. I don't know why. Somebody tell you something ain't, you better go check it out for yourself in the word. They always go to God. Always. You know, there ain't no more prophets. There ain't no more prophets. There ain't no more. Yeah, well, why you believe part or any of the Bible? If you don't believe what Paul said in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, you believe they're pastors? They're pastors? Teachers? I'm a teacher. Okay, I'm not a pastor. People try to make me a pastor. You know, I'll take any job God gave me, but he ain't gave me that one. I love y'all pastors. My heart goes out to y'all. The book of pastors. If you want to read the book of pastors, what it like, read the book of Numbers. And it also show you what happened when y'all. That's another area why I'm on that. Young saints, don't let nobody, when you hear somebody speaking negative about pastors or the body of Christ, don't join in. Let them suffer that themselves. There is one, this is the theme of this. There's one body of Christ. It does not matter. One of the things that I learned early on and where I'm at right now was my pastor was, if you say you believe in Jesus, even if you did not fully understand what you believe, felt an obligation to help you grow to where you need to be. No matter what you call yourself. Okay, in my mind, as far as I know, according to the word, the only Baptist was John. But I don't argue with people about what they are. They want to believe they're Baptist. I want them to have a closer walk with God. I'm at war with Satan. I'm not at war with other Christians that believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior alone. See? I don't argue with people. Some people believe it. Listen, you can go to any tongue-talking church, and I guarantee you 100% of them, probably less than 50% of them, pray in tongues every day. I could be shown wrong, but I doubt it. So I'm not going to argue with people over that. I understand the force of faith that goes behind it. But this is what it's about. I have to be continually conscious of it. A lot of people's lives are in shambles right now over simple stuff. You know, they're struggling over simple stuff, and they're trying to figure out, what is going on? I was hearing somebody saying that. I'm like, you got to review your life. It's simple. If things ain't going the way it should, ask God. He will bite his tongue, and he will show you. He will show you. Why? Because he wants you right. He wants you blessed. See? All right. Now, so I was talking about that, you know, this division in the church. And I bring that up because, you know, don't let Satan get you caught up into that. Don't let him get you into that. Because all he wants to do is separate you from your power, which is God. See? So if he can get somebody of another, God created them. A long time ago, somebody said something to me. I'm like, if you got a problem with the color of my skin, take your problem to God. Okay? I was not handed a color chart, you know, and said, what color do you want to be? You go on the earth. It didn't go like that. Boom, I was here. Okay? So if you got a problem with that, take it over God. And we all came from God. All men. The Bible says of one flesh. Matter of fact, it says of one flesh, okay, came all men. Let me see if I can find it right quick. Okay, well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at it. I'll find it for you next time. But we all came together. We came from Adam. Everything came, even the Levitical laws that God requoted, they were in God's heart from day one. See, but you had to understand what they were about. They were about the development of his community and his kingdom. And that is the reason for a lot of the drama. It's so much. They've been so out of the will of God so long. You know, I responded to a survey yesterday and said, what have you done? What will you do? What are you doing to help the body of Christ? I might as well throw in this segue there. I just completed my book. It's in publication right now. It's not totally live. The title isn't live on Amazon yet, but they are taking pre-orders. And I was just, before I came on there, I was in a conversation with a marketing company that was, you know, pretty, they were pretty, I can't think of the word right now, enamored with the book. Because it's something. It's called the Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. Okay? And it has a small print marriage section in rated PG. And then something else, my publisher, matter of fact, my publisher added, let me see if you can see this, if you looking on, you look at it online, you can see it. It'll be on YouTube later on, but I'm going to post it on the end of this video, and it'll be available, amen. But I wrote the book for millennials. I started out writing it for millennials, you know, because I talked to millennials when I be doing Uber, and most of them were college educated, and they bought into that lie that the press, some man told them there is no God. I'm like, how he proved it? He talked about proved there is a God. How he proved there isn't a God? How he just explained the earth spinning without a motor? Who started it to spin it? Why this earth? How he explained it's got air that we need, that if you change it up or down, H1O, or I mean, you change the oxygen content in the air, we die. You change the water content, we die. How explain all the food that we need? I mean, there's too many unexplained. It takes more faith to believe that goofiness than it does to believe in the beginning God. All right? But again, even when you encounter somebody that does not believe, this is what the royal priesthood, which we are in 1 Peter 2:5, that we are to intercede. We're the only ones with that authority. That's why we are called that. We can enter in before the throne of God. See, again, what division does is take away your power. That's all Satan is about. See, people that have forgotten through historically what this is about, even though it's been documented in the Bible. They don't read it. They don't read it. I'm still asking that question. I have a poll on my Facebook page. Richard O'Rourke knows a bunch of them. I know that. I always thought I was like one of a kind. I find out that I ain't have black and white riches. Anyway, all right. But so there's no black church right there. And I bring that up because people are making issues with that. Don't get caught up in that. I'm talking to my young saints and them few friends. Church is a church is a church. You want to be at a church, one, where the Bible is the primary authority. They believe the word over and above everything and everybody. You want to be at that you know, my pastor has a saying, I can't show it to you in the Bible, you have no obligation to believe. Which is true, because you held accountable to God's word, not somebody's imagination. All right? Now, let's go to Galatians. We're going to this other area, because today, not today, but this whole month, has been Women's History Month. And there's been controversy throughout Christianity history about women preachers. Okay, I don't know why. I get that craziness, you know, again. But, you know, once God told me something once, you know, because I had asked him, even though I read the word, you know, and he said he used women because he don't get his work done. And now if you go to any church, what are you going to see the majority of? Women. You go to any church, you go, why, they'll get done. You almost had to put reins on them. They'll get busy. They don't like waiting on God's business. They like, let's get this done. This is God's business. So, you know, but here in Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 25 because I like how it expresses that. This is out of the NIV version. It says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law, which is the Old Testament. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, and in some verses it says Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Young saints, you want to remember Galatians 3:29, because all the promises that God made in the Old Testament are active in the New Testament, and you have access to them because of Christ. That's what that is talking about. And it does not matter. So and the thing about it, when it comes to prayer, you know, women, God hear women. And in the Old Testament, you have in the book of Judges, one of my favorite female characters, Deborah, amen, she was a warrior. She was a warrior, she was a prophetess, and she was the judge of Israel, which means she ran the whole nation under God. One nation under God. That's when that really was true. I haven't seen that since I've been on the planet. They talk about it, but it ain't been there. Now they don't even say that no more. But, okay, so again, there's no division in there. And don't let somebody don't believe that, don't argue with them. That's another thing. Do not argue with them. When I read that in Titus 3:9, I quit arguing with people. They believe that, but why? I can't change their mind. I can give a person information. God has to give them revelation. And I heard the man of God say God is economical. He will not dispense any information on anybody that will not utilize it. So when you're asking God for something, and if you don't get more revelation, if you're asking for more revelation and you don't get it, you look at what you look at your stockpile and see what you've been using. Particularly, if you never prayed for anybody, why God gonna trust you with more power if you won't even use the power of prayer? I mean, people, you know, prayer is the initial, I believe, the first seed for salvation. Okay? And for a long time, until I was taught that, how to pray. See, this is what I'm talking about. When I started out, when you're talking about the spirit of wisdom, that means for God to bless them to see things as he see them. They can't hear and understand that. They can't even though they won't fully understand it, he can't put the desire or the revelation that they need to seek this out until we pray. He set it up like that. He gave man dominion, Genesis 1:26. Okay, he gave, and that even though Adam sinned, each of us, when we come to Christ, we gain our portion of control over the earth, okay? regain. So that Satan does not reign in my household. He doesn't reign over my territory. I am now outside of that. You know, it's kind of like this is what the Bible showed them illustrations of a person that had been in captivity. This is what Paul is talking about, being slave or free. I'm no longer under Satan's slave system. I'm under God's. Okay? Now, like I said, this is not, there's no division, there's no, being male or female, there's no distinction. Like I said, they were Deborah. She was, like I said, her husband, you know, Lapotev, I believe his name was. He was submissive to God in that area, which is critical, ladies, when you're picking a husband. Because some of y'all, I mean, some people are born with natural intelligence and men shouldn't feel insecure when they're in Christ. That their woman, they might put on their woman, their wife, and then they wind up president of the United States. I mean, God does what he want to do. Everything will come back to, that's what it comes to, love God. You know, I was telling somebody, you know, you really, you know, this is why me and my wife don't argue. We haven't argued 35, 40 years, you know. One, actually, God kind of sort of threatened me nicely. Said, that's my daughter. And my opinion of what I thought how it should be was irrelevant, period. But he told me this, if it ain't illegal and it ain't immoral according to his word, don't argue. And I don't, you know. And it's why? Because I'm always working on my spirit. See, we both work on each other's spirit. See, that's what this is about. It's a continuity. You will never get out of this, okay? I was sharing with somebody, the one thing I don't ask is God for is for more. I don't ask for more faith. If you God will graduate you when you submit and obey him, that comes. You will know you got there because it's like, this is a new type of trouble I ain't had before. And you like, you thinking you were being victimized, and you start looking, what did I do wrong? You obeyed God. They didn't live godly, shall suffer personal accusation by some human. Persecution always involves a person, okay? Unjustly, you know, you go to work, and you're like, why are they giving me so much trouble? God believes you have graduated to the level, or he wants you to come to a higher level. He said, now it's time for you to start praying more than 5 minutes. Now you're going to have to pray. You're like, why? Because it says I'm submissive to God. It always will come back to that. Because, again, the whole picture is once you are turned loose into the universe in the third-gen man, that's all that's going to be hanging on you, your love for God and your love for his creation. Your love for God and your love for his creation. Remember during the thousand-year reign, okay, you will have those, you will have people born during that thousand years. They haven't been changed like we will have been changed. So we will be where Jesus is now, but we will have to respond to them and their issues like Jesus responds patiently, long-sufferingly with ours. That's still yet another phase of training. That's why it's 1,000 years. That tells you how serious it is if it takes 1,000 years. We're not just going to be picnicking. Compare that to what it says in Revelation chapter 21. So apparently there's going to be some tears shed during that period of time. It won't be ours, but we also have to apply the comfort. We can't look at how and who and what they did. The same way God does us. We're going to be God's active agents. That's what it's going to be about. Now, I mean, I'm open to correction and instruction according to the word. If you don't agree with that, send me an email, 7trainingday@gmail.com. Okay? But anyway, that's what this is about. So it's a continuity of training and challenges. You know, a blessed friend of mine is getting a promotion, praise God. And that's just that they say new level, same level, but he's coming at it in a different way because he has to deal with other individuals. Now you're in the, when you get promoted, you're between two groups. You got the people that you're supervising over and the supervisors over you. So now you got to pray twice as much. But again, why? It's about how I manifest, how I manage my spirit. See, and when I and if I do it accordingly, God gonna bless accordingly. Man, I tell you, it's something. God will, and I'm telling you, you gotta lean into God. You gotta submit to God. He'll do some things to bless your heart, so that, to encourage you. God knows you, human. Believe me, he will do things to encourage you. He understand it. Wrapped himself up with flesh. Isaiah 66:10, he declared him the Savior. First Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, priest unto the Gentiles. Okay? Now, who did that? Huh? Was manifest. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was manifest. The Word became flesh. John 1:14. Look at John 1:1 and John 1:14. All right? Yeah, you're not dealing with normal. All right? You got to get this. You're dealing with an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. They're trying to get you to understand that you have his likeness. His likeness. I remember the first time I heard, man, is a God-class creature. That was a new revelation for me. And it opened up a whole new way of looking at myself as a believer. I tell you, one of the most life-changing messages I heard was called The Nature of Man. It was produced by my pastor when the first time I went to that church. It was, man, it opened my eyes up. I went from being religious to walking in righteousness. There's a distinct difference because now I'm looking at what my role is and operating in the power of God. That's what this whole life is. And I know when you read the Bible, it seems like it's talking about a whole lot of issues. But when you get the pieces of the puzzle together, you begin to realize it comes back to what Jesus said. Love God with your heart, mind, soul, and all your total being, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, imagine you got to live. I tell you, if Trump would have lived next door to me, I would have been trying to get in the scene. I would have sat out, I'd listen, and then I'd try to talk to him a little bit at a time. Because, see, you got to understand, people like that are hurt. That's where they are. I saw pain. I saw brokenness, you know, and I still see it. See, this is what we look at. Same thing I look at with the president we got now. I still see brokenness. How do you be that level of intelligence? The Bible is still the Bible, and you believe somebody that's saying something that ain't in the Bible. You know, that just maybe, and you would treat the Bible like it's a book that'll burn your hands if you pick it up and read it. You know, they tell you you won't understand it, so you believe that. Okay, so here you is praying useless prayers, making useless statements, alleging that you believe in God. That ain't impressing nobody because one thing about it, see, and this is the problem. Now, we in the body of Christ that understand cannot be caught up into criticizing him. That God don't answer criticisms. God answers prayer, okay? Prayer. He's looking at what the saints of God are going to do about it. See, everything. What's going on in Ukraine? What are the saints of God going to do about it? He's given us the power. He's shown us in his word how it works. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, then what happens. It ain't on God. It ain't even on the devil. It's right now, everything is about the church. You a storm, I just saw a little bit, I had made some calls, a little bit about some tornadoes went down through Texas. Because, you know, I have a son that's down there, but he knows how to pray the word. So, you know, and seeing things like that will let you know. It don't have to come near you. That's what it's talking about. 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right side, but it won't come near me. Because if you go back and you read the whole of Psalm 91, they're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you get under the shadow? You got to stay close to him. And now, more than any time, you got to stay close to God, okay? So we're talking about that, all right? Matter of fact, we talked about it earlier. I hit that point a long time ago. If you wasn't listening, I'm just looking at my notes here. Okay. We're doing pretty good on this. I pray you're getting a revelation that I want you to see that being in the kingdom of Christ is not being religious. It's about allowing God to develop you into the God-like person he wants you to be. And again, this does not mean you have to be a carpenter. This came up in my spirit, so it must need to be said because I do have some new people. That means if you're in a violent situation, okay, you don't have to take that. You know, get with God, get you a new location. You don't have to run out and get a divorce right away. And if you've been in that situation and you did get away from that situation and they're trying to convince you to return, not unless they have a prayer life. I don't mean an Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name type prayer. When you can hear that God is a person in their life and not a religion. Okay, there's a distinct difference. And an unction in the Holy Ghost, believe me, peace in your spirit. Otherwise, you know, let it be. You know, God does not require us. See, Jesus override turn the cheek. In Luke 22:36, he told the disciples to go get weapons. That's the difference. And the people that's been in the military and law enforcement understand what last order means, because that's the order to stand. See, some things, and then we are in an area now, I believe, see, the world is under judgment. That's why Corona has been running around taking out people, because, and the fact that he's strong in China, well, so is whatever little demonic religion they got over there. That ain't going to work for them. Demons, you know, they ain't going to say to them, you got it right now. You really, this is why I'm talking about this. You don't have to fear that. You don't have to fear it for your family. See, you don't have to fear that that angels will, whether or not they will do what you want them to do to protect your family. You know, I tell people, don't send your kids to school without the commanding angels. What happened in Oxford, Michigan, the angels was laid off. See, this is why Satan tell you, there is no God. So you won't pray. So you won't turn it. God, listen, this is not going to be heaven on earth. Jesus said he come to bring a sword. I mean, the Bible tells you as we get closer to the end, if you read Matthew, it's going to get worse. This is what the woman of travail in Revelation chapter 12. The woman in travail is a woman that's pregnant. And if you know anybody know anything about a woman having a baby, the closer she gets to having that baby, the worse the pain gets. Just before the rapture. So, but you don't have to. There's some women know to have a baby and they don't experience a whole lot of pain. That's the point right there. If you stay in lock speed with God, if you stay in lockstep with God, then the pain will be around you, but it won't be on you. See, you can exceed that. That's the benefit of being in the body of Christ. This is what when Paul said to the Galatians, you are now sons, manifestations of God through faith in Christ, the anointed one and his anointed Jesus. Okay? That's what that was about. But again, what Satan does to block your power is create division. So if he starts stuff in your family, you stop. You stop. You can't stop them. You stop. So you can pray, pray. You don't even have to pray loud either. Holy Spirit is in you, and the angels can hear you. And then you can command. Command, you got to really step into the supernatural, okay? People clowning on your job, try to find at least one other saint on your job that pray. I don't care if they're weak in the faith, warm in the faith, become their teacher, okay? So that you can begin to command control. I mean, really, you want to see the boat, because when you see the change come about, you don't have to get credit from it. You get credit in heaven. That matters to God. He stores it up. Okay? Well, I hope I've helped you understand some things, the kingdom of Christ. I think this might be the end of that. Okay? That particular aspect. But the Bible is still just one continuous story. So I know God will be just going at it from another direction because he wants us to succeed. Amen. So, now, all this begins, in case this is your first time, you need to understand, you know, in my book I talk about prayer is a legal term, okay? You'll hear, if you ever go to a court in which they are dealing with a lawsuit, you'll hear the attorney actually say, this is what we pray of the court, okay? Which means the court has the authority. We're pursuing the court based on the laws that allow us to access remedy, because this is what the law said we can receive. And the same thing with prayer. When you're in Christ and you pray, you're going in on the authority that has been granted you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's going to be another, I hope God go there because it'll be perfect timing. But anyway, so you begin with this prayer. And it has to be verbal, so Satan can hear it, is witnessed and testified. That's why we say it verbally, okay? That's why in my book, at the beginning of every chapter is a prayer, I say it verbally so it is witnessed. Because what I want is for God to give you revelation. Not just read the book, for God, he'll give you revelation, and you might be able to send me some information that I can, when I get ready to rewrite the book, that I can add that information to it, all right? So, but it begins with this. Say this prayer. Lord God in heaven, I believe the story of your word. I believe that you are God, and I acknowledge that Jesus is your son. I acknowledge that you sent him to die for my sin. And I accept your offer of forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. And Lord, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, it's always amazing to me how simple that part is. You know, and remember this, new saints, if you get it wrong, trust me, you all I know is now after 45 years I get less wrong, but you're not God, okay? And that's just the way it is, you know. But God will always forgive you, and he has a very simple way of letting you know he's through. He takes you home. So if you're still here, you say, okay, God want me to continue. Amen. And remember this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Wow. Yeah. Yo, I go by the name of Mario Winey. And this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Bring to you my auntie, CeCe Winans. Yo, CeCe, drop that purse.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get